Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
So what I'm going to talk about today is trials, tribulations. Turn with me to Job chapter 14. Let's read verse 1. The Lord left these things like this. That's what I was first wanting to know about. God, in his wisdom, he left the world the way it is. And you will see it in all these Bible verses we are going to go through to make you to see that God has a plan, a bigger picture than what you can see perhaps. You may have your own problem. You may have your own trials. You may be going through things right now. Maybe you are not going through anything right now. It may come later. But it is allowed. God allowed these things to be like this for his own purpose, for his own plan. And when we talk about trials now, we're not talking about the trial of your faith. That is also trial. I'm talking of the trials that is in the world, that whether you like it or not, you will run into it one time or the other as you live long on this planet. Amen? Let's read Job chapter 14 first. Verse 1. It's a man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. The first thing I wanted to see, he said, we are full of trouble. And the Lord Jesus Christ said it in another way. In Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Let me read that real quick. But the way I'm going to present, or the Lord is going to lead me to present this message, is I'm going to give you some few examples of trials in the Bible. Maybe you can say yours is tougher, yours is difficult. Things are not going the way you expected it to be. Everything was going good, suddenly something goes sour, and you feel sad, and you are sorrowful, and you are bitter, whatever is going on. There is a song that my mama always used to sing. I don't know where it was from their religion. It's a Yoruba song, but I will just translate it. It said, if you say your trouble is plenty, and you are sorrowful, you are sad, you are frowning your face, is what it really translates to me. Say, but when you hear of other people's troubles, say, you'll be saying, I thank God. Praise the Lord. But God put it that way in the old universe. And that is why Job was saying, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. In fact, he said, as his sparks blows up, the troubles comes down upon mankind. But you see, what God is trying to make us to see is that maybe he didn't plan it that way in the first instance, but after the fall of Adam, we know in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, if you want to go there real quick, he said, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, snow, summer, he said, darkness, light, they will continue till the end. Amen? So what that symbolized to you then is not just the weather. It also includes good times and then suddenly bad times. God said he will leave it like that until the end. Amen. So there will be a time of tears, and there may be a time of great enjoyment. But God allows some of those things so that let's read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Praise the Lord. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, the wise man Solomon was saying this. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. There will be adversity, and there will be a great time of plenty. Now, if you are going through adversity, or look like this is every time there's adversity, maybe you want to pray. The Bible says pray. Maybe every time, maybe you are going through days of joy, days of gladness, days. He said, but be joyful, be grateful. But when the adversity comes, just consider that, hey, God has said this over against the other. Like Job said to his wife, he said, what? Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? Knowing that God created all those two things. But the Bible also said, God doeth good. Amen? God is good. So what I'm going to try to balance for you today is to see that these trials, they come to every human being. You may say, oh, this man does not know what he's talking about. You don't know anything. You are living in a place like this. You don't know what we are. We are homeless. We know trials. You can't tell me anything. Yes, I may not be able to tell you anything. But the trials of every person may be different. Yours may be different from that of Job. You know the story of Job, that he was a rich man in his days, the richest in the East, the Bible called him. And he had everything, and he had children that are the most beautiful in the city. And for some reason, like you can read yourself, I'm not going through the story of Job, I'm just going to give an example. That suddenly he lost everything in one day. Everything. In a day. Started with his children. Then came all that the goods that he had. And you say, well, what kind of, mine is not like that, thank God. Yeah. Job had that thing, that trouble. And you all remember, we read this book of Job. It looked to us as it did happen one day, and then the second day he had sickness, and the third day God set him free. Oh, it's just a three-day thing. No, it was not a three-day thing. That could lasted 10 years. The mystery of Job could have been 10 years. So, but it was condensed to us. Like this. So whatever you are going through, you may say, yeah, I have been homeless for, look, 15 years, I don't see any hope. I'm going to go through these Bible verses so that you may see that there is hope. Amen? Not only that there is hope, sometimes you're only seeing the small picture, but God sees a bigger picture. And I also want to give you a caution. The caution is this. We're going to see the stories of these men in the Bible where they went through their lows. The lows is the trials and the tribulations. And you can see, gee, that's tough on them. Yeah, that's sad on them. And the only ones that we have record of are the ones that God brought them out of that low, and we saw the glory of God manifested in the end, and they were glorifying God. We can say, well, they went through these trials like Job. We know the end of Job, not so. He went through this. I said it was not just a one-year thing. It was not a six-week thing. It could have lasted 10 years. He lost his children. These are not little kids, grown-up children that were partying. So if he lost them, he didn't collect new ones back the second day. So you have to know that it could have been 15 years of misery. Not to talk of the sickness. He lost all his goods. He couldn't get them back the second day. Okay, God said, now I'm healed. You know something that you just got 2,000 sheep back. No, he has to get them in little, and then they grow and become the richest person again, maybe after 15 years again. So what I'm trying to make you to see is we saw those stories, but the time duration, which may be similar to what you are going through right now, maybe you have never gone through something that long, it's still the fact that God allowed these things to happen to mankind. Good times, and there may be bad times. But we're going to see how we should handle it, is what we're going to talk about. How should we handle situations like this? So that we do not offend. Amen? So that we do not offend. However, when you are going through those trial times, like Apostle Paul said, he said that the trial of your faith, though it endure, you just have to know that everybody is going through some trials. If you can hold on, hang on with God, the Lord will bring you through. But there are some people that may not even, God may not bring them through that trial. They may die in their trial. They may die in their trials. That's what I want to point out. Amen? So when we look at the stories of the great men in the Bible, that they went through these trial times, which may be God instigated, God orchestrated that for them, or they just went through trial times because of the situations in the world. Because some of the ones we are going to read, we can look back at history and say, actually, God orchestrated those trials. Like Abraham, he had trials. But in his days, he was one of the richest men in town. And we know the story of Job. He had those trials. It was orchestrated by God. That was because it was written for us as orchestrated by God. Now, if we didn't read this, if it was not written like this, and you heard about that story, what will you say? You say something happened. Thieves came and stole all his goods. There was war, and they took all his properties. Then he fell sick in the midst of it all. If God has not told us that he caused this. So maybe you are going through some tough times. Well, God has not told you, nor anybody, that he's orchestrated it. So you will be almost thinking that, gee, what happened to you is just different from what is happening. So what I'm trying to say then is, it's not every trial time is orchestrated by God. Neither is every trial time not orchestrated by God. So you just have to see that, but it is how you handle it that is going to see whether you are going to be called man of faith. Because at the end of time, that's where I'm going to at the end, I'm going to summarize it at the end to tell you that the Bible said it in the book of Revelation that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes if you are one of them that arrive at his feet on that day. Amen? If you are one of them, after you have gone through all this, your trials in life, which everybody is going through one kind of trial or the other, whatever it is. Your own trial may be financial. That fellow's trial may be afflictions of disease, sickness, hospitalization. It's a trial. And you may say, well, I thank God I'm not even afflicted. I'm only just having no home or no money. Your own trial may be family situations. Your own trial may be anything. Little children have trials. So whatever is your trial, if you arrive at his feet in the end, in the kingdom that he is bringing, the Bible promises you God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So that should be your hope. That I want to be there where God is wiping away all those tears from my eyes too. That is the hope that we want to live with you. But that depends on how you walk now with him. No matter what you are going through. How you walk with God now will determine whether you are one of them. He's going to be wiping away tears from your eyes. Amen? Because let me give one example. When I said I'm going to go to some Bible verses in a moment. I said there are some that God brought them out at the end and they got something better. And we can look at their history and say, yeah, low times and then God rescued them. Like this of Job that we know in the Bible. But there are some people that they died in that trial. They died in that trial. Example, you know the story of Lazarus, the beggar. What the Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this story of Lazarus, the beggar. He said, there was a rich man living sumptuously. Didn't know God. And there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus. Sitting, living at the doorsteps of this rich man, and this beggar, homeless, feared God, walked with God in his own way. The Bible didn't say he was a saint, but he feared God and walked with God. And then in the end, this man, the beggar, died as a beggar. But what did the Bible say at the end of that? He was at the bosom of Abraham. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to point out to us, that it's not all that we are talking about or something that everyone that goes through at low times will suddenly arrive in the great deliverance at the end. Some died in their poverty. Some died being a beggar. But if you walk with God right, if you are upright before him, even if you die in that your trial times, whether in disease or sickness, they died in their and they are still trusting God, they will be like Lazarus, that was at Abraham's bosom, being rocked. He was at Abraham's bosom, being comforted. Amen? So you have to first remember that how you walk now with God is very critical, whether you are going through trial times now or you are going through great times right now. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, like I said. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. These few verses are just to tell us that these things are ordained and God allowed the times of trials and the times of good things. Bad times come and good times come. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Amen. What is all this Bible verse telling us? Just like the book of Genesis chapter 8 said to us, seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 that I just quoted to you in a moment. God said seed time and harvest will not cease. The same thing that he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that God has set one over against the other, so that man may not find anything after him. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, let me read that verse again to you in a moment. This is after the world has gone through the flood. And God promised that he will not do this again. He will not destroy the world all over again with flood. But he promised in verse 22 of chapter 8, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat. You may say, I like cold. The other guy may say, I don't like cold. I like heat. They say, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So we can say, and good times and bad times shall not cease. This is Proverb telling us that the good times will come and the bad times will come. And let me give you the first example. When we say good times and then bad times, sometimes you may say, well, I didn't even know why it comes. The Bible made it clear that sometimes evil just came by itself. Here's an example of the story of David, the king. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, let's look at some of this story and wonder how in the world did this thing happen? Did God do this? Is God just playing games with us? Or is it the devil that is doing this? The devil just making a havoc with mankind? Or is it just situation? It's life. I'm not going to give you an answer to this. I'm just going to give you this example. 2 Samuel chapter 24, we see here the story of King David. Everything seems to be calm and quiet in Israel. David had been king. And suddenly here comes this trouble. In chapter 24, I will just read. You all, any of you that have been reading the Bible, you know this story. Here in chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, and again, it didn't tell us what led to this. What led to this confrontation? Is it confrontation with devil? Here is what the Bible said. It's almost like trouble came from nowhere. That's what I want to point out to you. This is to the whole country of Israel. This is not like David has been, something has been going on, or the city, the nation has been doing stuff. God sees what we don't see. But what is written now is what I'm going to just point to you. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Well, that is what was recorded. We do not know what was happening, what God saw. But the Bible says it was God that moved David to offend. And Isaiah said in the place, why did thou made us to err? Look like God made them to err sometime. So you have to be able to say, we are not trying to find out what is the reason for this. We have to just point out these things occur in life. Whether you like it or not, sometimes troubles come. That's just what I wanted to point out. Here is an example that whether David liked it or not, this trouble just came. He didn't know what moved him. That's what you are going to point to you. Because here he said God moved him to number Israel. And numbering Israel made him to have offended. And we know the rest of the story was, after he did it, in fact, the Bible said his captains. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. And number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab, the captain, didn't want to do this. All his counselors said, why do we need to do this? But the Bible said, he prevailed against them. Verse 4, not since then the king's word prevailed against Joab, and against the captains of the host. Captains of the host. So somehow, something moved him. He wanted to do this. And it was a sin. Let's do census. And they went and they said, well, no, why do we need to do this? The captain, the other said, why do we? He said, we need to do it. We need. And they went ahead and did it. And it was an offense. And the rest of it was plague upon the land. You know the story, if you have read the Bible so much. Let's read what happened. He said, after they have done this, the prophet came and said, you have done something wrong. God said, choose what I should do to you. 7 years of famine, 3 months of war, or 3 days of pestilence. That's trouble. What did we do to offend? What made David to do this? Now, let me go to the same rendering of this in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Just to make you to say it's not God that is sitting on his throne trying to find a way to make people fall into traps and sin. No. But the Bible gave us the two sides of it. He said God moved David. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, he said Satan moved David. So now you can take your pick who is doing this to mankind. Verse 1 said, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them. And this, the same thing, verse 3, Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does that my Lord require this thing? Why will it be a cause of trespass to Israel? They know it's going to be a cause of trespass, but he didn't listen. Why? Because the Bible says Satan moved David to do this thing. Or in the other verse, chapter said God moved David to do this thing. So what am I trying to point out? Everything may be good and calm and quiet, and suddenly evil come. That's what I'm just trying to point out. It may come from nowhere. Sometimes we don't know what power is moving you, what power is moving me. And when it happens, it happens. Now we're going to see another example here. Take another example is Daniel. Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 6. This story is, all of us know, we can bring all of this from different angles. But I'm bringing it from the angles of trials and tribulations. We come to every man. And when they come, when you handle it properly, then the Lord is going to give you great deliverance. If you don't angle it properly, but if you still walk with the Lord uprightly, even if you perish in that trial and tribulation, you are going to be like, what is his name? Lazarus. That was at the bosom of Abraham and being comforted. So those things happen in the world. You just have to know that. But the purpose of it is, what are these trials expected to do for mankind? What is the purpose of it? And we're going to go to that in a moment. I'm going to get to some Bible verses. What trials are expected to do for us, including the trials that God sent to the saints. Because God sent some, which we call persecution. That is when people are really persecuted for your faith. When you stand tall for Jesus and you are preaching the gospel and they come against you, it's another form of trial. Whether through governmental, you know, politics, or people just don't like what you are saying, they fire you. It can happen. Preach to somebody and they say, we found that you gave this tract to somebody. And we have a policy that this shouldn't be allowed. So pack your load and leave. That will be like trial also. And you'll be saying, well, I stood for Jesus and I was fired. And it's still firing. You may look for a job for the next 3 months and not find another job. So those are all trials also. But sometimes God sent that to the saints. It happened in the first church. But all of those things are also trials and tribulations. We're just wrapping everything together as trials and tribulations. They may come because of situations. They may come because of environment. They may come because of the world is full of troubles. But what is the purpose? How should we undo all these things? So that in the end, we will be one of them, that the Lord will be wiping away tears from their eyes. That is our goal. You want to put that in your mind.
Now praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi, inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you, so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again, you don't even know what it means to be born again, you are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins, I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now, so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the word of God. The word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus, and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life, because he gives a power into the believers that he call being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within, that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. Now, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I want you to pray, to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for me on the cross. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce all ungodliness. And I renounce all witchcraft and evil powers. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Come and take over my life, Jesus. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me with your blood. From now on, I belong to you, Jesus. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for making me your child. Amen. Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to follow the word of God, to begin to read the scriptures and to understand and obey it. And let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow the and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.